Thrill 5 Radio through an internet blast. On your digital plats, international podcast. Sit down with a tall glass, take it from brass. You can learn a little something, have a good laugh. Now if you're late to this party, don't forget, they got episodes on deck for you to check. The archive deep, lit like car lights beat. You ain't seen this much exposure since Cardi B. Hey, plugging the scene like plumbers on pipe leaks. Running their numbers up, shows drop weekly. Guests from everywhere, but they still rep home team. Thrill 5, not just a name, they promote team. So relax, put your feet up, smoke some of your re-up. Enjoy the show with the exclusive meetup. Yeah. Dade County, know the style. It's Struck and Dre Mav on your radio dial.
On Dre 05 Radio.
They on that.
Dre 05.
Welcome to 305 Radio. My name is Struck.
And I'm Dre Mav.
And it's going to be a good show today. We got not one, but we have two individuals representing one big organization. Jorge?
Yes.
And Legacy?
Yes, yes. What's up, y'all?
What's good, gentlemen? How you doing?
Very good, very good.
Happy to be here.
And you guys are representing Green Haven Project.
That's right.
Correct.
Tell us a little bit about what the Green Haven Project is and what you guys do in the community.
You want to go for it?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Well, so we are a organization based on, just giving back to the community, pretty much teaching people self-sustainability, and encompassing, educational things as well as, historical things. I feel like we all can benefit off local community gardens, and especially in places that don't have access to healthy food, if we can provide that community with something it's been neglected of, it's like a very important thing, not only for this specific community that we're reaching out to, but for everyone, really, each one teach one. So basically, plant a seed, everybody can benefit off of what grows from that seed. So I think we're doing a lot of good things, not only for the community, the people in the community, but also the environment, ecosystems, everything involved, plus.
Yeah, I would, on that note too, I would even say on Miami's culture as well, there isn't a lot of places that are like considered open community gardens like we mm-hmm. are. And that's also, the space is also used as a resource center too. Which we're gonna talk about more today, the collaborations that we have, we use this space for, Christmas events, back to school events. We have a food pantry. When people want to do events there as well, we collaborate with them, and just pretty much we strive on bringing people together that have a focus on helping the surrounding communities. And in this case, what we're referencing is Overtown. We do what we can to make people's living experiences just a little bit easier, a little bit brighter. We never like to come as saviors or the solution or all these things, because I think oftentimes, when it comes to these projects, people get lost in that glory mindset of, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, but it's not really about what you're doing. It's who's benefiting from it and who gets the glory mm-hmm. in that sense,
Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't be the people running it that gets the glory. It should be like the people that, we're serving.
Facts. It's such a important project, because... All right. So for those listening and you're not familiar with Miami, the Green Haven Project is located in a really unique spot. Oh, wait, you good?
Yeah, all right. Sorry.
All right. So it's really located in a unique spot. If you know Miami, it's not the best
representation.
It's not the representation of what of the city.
Yeah, at least what's been portrayed, right? Miami's portrayed as the party city.
Exactly.
I would consider real Miami, especially the name Historic Overtown.
Exactly.
There's a lot of history behind that. Yeah.
And it's such a neglected history. You know what I'm saying? And then you guys built this piece of land that it's community farming. Is that what you call it?
So it is a nonprofit organization and it is an urban garden.
Yeah.
Right. Can you kind of tell us a little bit more about who are the key people involved in that? And what exactly those services provide to those resources in Historic Overtown?
So to answer your question, yes, it is basically community farming. Mm-hmm. there's like so many ways you can name it, and there's also different ways too on how you can name farming itself. But essentially what we do, it is farming. There's a lot of different elements that go within the space, such as we have a farm crop, we have a fruit tree orchard, we have a food forest, we have a nursery. We have all these things on how people can implement growing in different ways. And we're only looking into innovating those ideas more, because growing shouldn't just be limited to that. There's different ways on how to do that. And I think as humanity on the verge of just going through all these crises, we need to continue to learn how to evolve and tap into different ways on how we can grow as well. So, you know, eventually we will expand more on like just, you know, on the whole educational aspect of the space. But for us, that's what's more important. What's most important is people who go there actually like leave with some type of knowledge, whether it is how to grow or learning about a new plant, its benefits, et cetera, et cetera. Those are just some ways, you know, so.
Let's go all the way to the beginning, because the Green Haven Project is definitely not something new, but it's been around for quite a few years now. Tell me a little bit about what got you guys started. How did you guys get involved, and who are the key players in this organization?
So I can start with that, because I've been around since the beginning. But and then, you know, legacy gets segued into, you know, being a part of this, too, is originally our other co-founder, David. He was told about this space, I want to say like back in 2018 by this gentleman named Michael, who has this one org called Talent for Change.
Shout outs to Talent for Change, Change Rover.
And shout outs to David, too. You know, he's one of the original co-founders that. He was told about this space, and then he told me about it, and then we both went in there, and there was just this energy of like, yo, we got to get in here. We got to get in here and do what we can.
We got to do this.
We got to do this. You know, we got to find some way, because there's already a master lease on this space by this woman named Thais and this other gentleman named Mario. But fortunately, it worked out in our benefits where we both spoke to Thais, where she was immediately receptive to be like, here you guys go. Yeah, want to take over.
Figure it out.
Figure it out, this and that. You know, so maybe for the first year, we were very grassroots, where it was tied in with Miami Save the Kids, which was, that was an org David was working on with, which I forgot the name of the gentleman that started Save the Kids.
Save the Kids from Incarceration.
From Incarceration, yes. And they're based up north. But they had a very small Miami chapter that David was moving forward with. And, you know, at the time, it was under that name. Mm-hmm. And then eventually we all came together with different people and created Green Haven Project, I want to say about a year and a half after. And do you recall how you got into the mix?
Well, I believe at first it was, you know, a lot of people, a lot of hands participating, everybody kind of contributing in their own way. The way I was introduced to the space was through various houselessness outreaches. So we would get together, it was a big group, predominantly serving vegan food. There would be people collecting clothes, you know, people doing the food, people collecting shoes, people collecting hygiene products.
Huge.
Yeah, it would be these huge, you know, outreach, you know, initiatives. And I was a part of that. You know, I would bring food, I would bring water, you know, I would do my part to help, you know, the mission. And I knew it was something that was very important because of the necessity of how many people we would reach. You know, we would go to, and we still do, shout outs to the Freedom Lab, Smile Trust Incorporation, you know, we still do it to this day, where we do houseless outreaches, people that are living on the street, you know. So we came together like that to see how we can help the surrounding communities. And I believe at some point early on, we figured, you know, coming out of pocket wasn't gonna really be sustainable for so long, and we needed to figure out a way how we could be self-sufficient and self-sustainable, but also continuing the mission on helping people, you know, get the nutrition. Yeah, because everybody's got to eat, right? So it turned into you know, a very transformative experience. And I think, you know, going back on what Green Haven is, it's very transformative in a symbolic sense. In reality, you know, we have our butterfly garden there that, you know, is very educational in many ways. But these are things that I believe are very key to the growth of the garden and the board members, everybody that was involved from the very beginning. Shout outs to David, Sam, Nicole,
Takiya. There were
so many. Yeah, Takiya, God bless, Bottles,
Big List.
Oh, we have so many names, you know, and they all did their part, and we, you know, we thank them for that, because without them, there would be no Green Haven. So, you know, it's been very, very important, but I believe the basis on how everybody came together was, you know, bringing food to people that needed it, you know, people that we didn't want to see people on the street, you know, hungry or going to sleep without food. We wanted to do our part. So I believe everything kind of like fell in very cohesive together in the aspect of going on with that mission of bringing people food and, you know, being self-sufficient. So,
yeah, the first time I ever met Legacy was he was doing an album release.
And I was going to say, it was that show, right?
Yeah. No. So check this out. He was actually doing an album release party and doing a houseless feeding at the same time. I think at the time, David, myself, and a few others were doing different houseless feedings at the same time, not really realizing he had his album release going on simultaneously. That, and eventually that day we ran into him.
Yeah.
You know, like they knew each other already, and then that was the first time I met him, and it was just like, you know, it's just like all love. Yeah, hit it off, because it's like, well, we might not know each other, we might not, you know, like be instant, like, you know, bros and stuff like that, but there's already that mindset purpose. That okay, you're here, you're there, and we're doing this same thing, like, you know, eventually we're gonna run into each other again, you know. So
right, yeah, it was a mixtape release.
Mixtape, yeah,
and it was only available to the people that showed up to help with the houseless outreach. So we had food there, we had water, and then I had a big speaker playing the mixtape. And anybody who came to join and actually decided to help in any way got the mixtape. Nobody else has that mixtape by nobody else has that mixtape by, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just the people that showed up and really showed action and initiative to help somebody more than themselves. You know, everybody has their mixtape release, their albums, whatever, for music. It's all about party and things like that. But I wanted to join the two worlds because, you know, like, anybody could rap about change, but unless you're really doing something about it, it's just words, you know, it falls on deaf ears because you're just talking about something, but you have no words. I mean, you have no actions behind those words. So it's like weightless, you know? So I wanted people to understand that, yeah, it's important to talk about these things. It's important to bring awareness to these things, but it's also important to be there, boots on the ground, on the front lines, actually doing this change that you speak about. So, you know, shout outs to all the people that I met throughout all that. And, you know, I'm glad to be a part of, you know, a tribe and an organization and just a collective of people now that really are on the front lines, and not, they don't just talk about it, they are about it and they live it and embody it with their daily lives. So it's a good start to something great.
Let's talk about some of those things, because you guys do have a volunteering program. People within the surrounding community can actually come and garden their own food and pick their own. I've done it myself, you know, picking lettuce and different fruits and vegetables and herbs. So let's talk about the different programs, projects, what activities, the days that you do them. If anybody wants to get involved, how can they help?
Yeah, so the best way to keep up with us, which I like to, you know, guide everyone towards, is Instagram. Might not seem practical, but it's practical for us because, you know, we all have access to the account. If people need to DM us, there's usually someone that's available to answer questions quickly. And that's where we post all our events. I think from there as well, some of those events get shared automatically through Facebook also. But our main focus and our main traction is Instagram. Right now is probably like the best time for people to get involved because we're still in the growing season. So the way it works is late September, early October is the beginning season in South Florida. And then it probably leads all the way up until late May, early June. And then from June all the way up until that September timeframe It's just a lot of maintenance. It's very rough. It's very hot. This summer, there's a lot of rain, a lot of heat, which, you know, I'm grateful for the rain, but unfortunately, the weeds on our land does absorb it all, and it just grows, and it gets very crazy. So my suggestion wouldn't be for people to get involved in the summer because of that. We still have, fortunately, like a lot of traction that does happen. Like this summer was very eventful. We had
and
a
hot.
Lot and hot. But we actually had a lot of fruits that were in abundance that we didn't have before, because in the past we used to have a very old gate that people will just break in and just kind of take everything even before it was ready. And mind you, things are there for people to take, but it does become problematic when someone takes everything.
Yeah.
So my only hopes for whoever that is, if you're hearing this, I just hope you're sharing whatever it was.
Whatever you took.
You're defeating the purpose of community.
Right. Exactly. But no, I mean, they would take everything. Like we would have, like, we had so many bananas that were ready. And then when we try to come back the next day, they were sniped.
Yeah.
They were just sniped instantly. So this season that passed, we had a very fruitful mango season. There's a lot of people in the neighborhood that knew us as the mango spot in Overtown. because yeah, I'm telling you, it's crazy. We had like trees that had like 50 mangoes one day, and then they were gone, and they weren't even mature or grown or ready.
Wow,
and it's like,
yeah.
Why would you even, you know?
Why would you even take all these green mangoes?
No, it's like, man, they're not gonna grow after you take them. But so right now, all the way up until May, there's still a lot that's being moved right now in terms of the growing season, where people can learn hands-on how to grow crops and how to make their own veggie rows, and then kind of also seeing how things move throughout the season as well. Because there are some things that are going to last all the way up until May, possibly even longer. But then there are some things that have a more temporary time frame, where like these things are probably going to move within 2 months, every 2 months or so going in. So within that too, you know, October is usually our biggest event of the year, which is World Food Day. Then follows up, we try to do Thanksgiving drives in November. December is our collective toy drive. And then next year, we're looking into just more expansion and growth. We have our friends from Madison with the School of Architect, and Damar from Off Top, that they've been working you know, on helping to gather funds to restore our nursery into making it an educational space. So that's something that's still projected to be coming in January. So it's looking like we're going to be starting off the year pretty strong, and then going on from there into like other programming and stuff, and anyone else who wants to get involved.
How does someone get involved for the classes, for the educational part that you mentioned, that it just shows how to do certain things?
So when we share flyers or any events that, you know, involve those things specifically, just show up.
Yeah,
we don't really like to press people as far as like sign this
dog,
RSVP, all these things. It's literally just show up.
Just show up.
Yeah, most people are surprised. And when people are asking, like sometimes they'll leave comments on those posts asking those things. And yeah, no, it's just simply showing up. You know, we never really like to shut our doors or make things so exclusive where people feel like, I was like, okay, well, I can't come for this, I can't come for that, I gotta come to this other thing. It's like, no, just show up to whatever we have going on. Even for events that might not seem like it's for you, there's always something that people can help in.
Oh yeah, always something you could take from it too.
Yeah.
There's always opportunities to learn. And I think that's a really important question. A lot of people ask, how can I get involved? And whether it be with Green Haven, whether it be with another organization, whether it be with whoever, the important part is that you want to get involved and you make that first initiative. I know a lot of people just kind of like sit around and, man, I wish I could do this. I wish I could help. I wish I could do this. You know, I wish I could better the conditions around my community. And it's as easy as making the decision to help your community. You know, you don't have to go that far. You don't have to gather so many resources. You don't have to gather so many people, but just that initial initiative to want to help is already going to put you around like-minded individuals. You need to, you know, there's a saying that goes, your vibe attracts your tribe, right?
Yeah.
So if your vibe is wanting to help people, you're gonna come across other people that wanna help people. And then there goes your tribe. You know, we have a humongous tribe outside of Green Haven, you know, and it's just people that want to help. you know, and it's as easy as just, you know, seeing somebody that may need help and you helping them with whatever it may be. Maybe they need to hear a hello, a simple hi, you know, maybe they need to be seen. Maybe they feel unseen, invisible, because society just, you know, likes to create these barriers and these divisive situations where, oh, the haves and the have nots, you know, the lower class, the middle class, the high class. It's like, no, we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same boat, and we need to understand that without each other and without helping each other, you know, we're not going to get far. Whether we have money, whether we don't have money, whether we have a house, whether we don't have a house, whether, you know, it's, these are things that we need to understand, that together we can go a lot farther, you know. And we have a saying at the Garden that it's like, you know, let's grow together. Mm-hmm. It's very you know, it has like various meanings. Obviously, let's grow plants together, but let's grow as individuals. Let's grow as humans together. And, you know, that's really important to me. The symbolic essence of the Garden of, you know, like just growing in general. You gotta like go through the dirt. You know, another saying people like to say, I got it out the mud. You know, you think of a seed, you gotta put it into the ground. What it takes to break through the soil. Sometimes you could be walking on the sidewalk and you see a little plant. You know, how much strength did it take, perseverance did it take for that seed, for that plant to break through concrete, to break through rocks? You know, that's something that I feel like is very important and missed for a lot of people. But just having that initiative, you know, just go out and help people, make that first step, and you're already there, you know.
And I want to add on to that, because we're talking about growth, and the Green Haven Project is a safe haven for all ages. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go there and you see newborn children,
oh, yeah,
all the way up to like 90-year-old people, all just communing together and learning together. And you can go there and literally not do anything, just sit down, have a conversation with, nice, someone, and like Legacy said, you're gonna take something from that moment. It's a really magical space. So congratulations to you guys for being a part of that and creating that, you know, not just for yourselves, but for everybody else that's been able to gain something from that.
I'm with that.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I also like to always emphasize that it's not just us, you know, it's not just like the people that had helped started it, but it's also you, you know, it's also, right, you as well. Mm. It's everyone that gets involved in making these experiences happen, because, you know, you can build the spaces, but if no one comes to ever participate in any way, whether, yeah, it be to benefit or to collaborate, et cetera, then these spaces don't mean anything.
I got to tell you, with Dre, you've done a couple events. You do annual events there. And I remember going there for the first, it was one of the toy drives, the first time I went. And from the outside, you can't see past the grass sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. So once you get into the property and you start realizing you have a variety of lettuces growing, you had a variety of a ton of different vegetables. It doesn't come to mind right now because it was, you know, mm-hmm, but you have such a great setup for a farming education. Like when they say go ahead and get your feet in the dirt, get your hands dirty, that's like that
literally.
Farm literally literally, because you see the rows of everything growing, and just to see some of it in different states of being ripe, of being ready, it's amazing. So I have to ask myself, I'm like, man, are we really here in Miami doing this in the middle of the city?
Yeah.
And it's just such a dope vibe, and you definitely got a hell of a tribe behind you, because the community does come out for Dre's events. You got Bounce, oh, yeah, House and ice cream and all these things, and the community comes out and they really have a great time. So it's like, not only it's not only for education, it's for events, it's community. It really defines community. What have you seen as been the biggest challenge in being able to pull this off?
Mm-hmm. It's a very good question. you know, these things are never easy. I think one of the biggest challenges we might face a lot of times is, you know, like personal relationships with community members. And in this case, you know, what I'm referencing is like kids. You know, we've had like a strong relationship with a lot of the kids in that neighborhood. And, you know, Overtown is such a unique place where it can either make you or break you, mm-hmm, completely.
Oh, yeah.
You know, And we've seen a lot of phases of that where like some kids have made it, that they're older, that they got their things together. And, you know, some of them had even said, if the garden wasn't there, their influence would have been a lot different.
Really?
And that, yes, yes.
For
yeah,
sure.
It's, and you know, and for us, you know, that's a blessing to hear, and that's where the real payoff comes out, you know, when you hear about those testimonies. But then there are some kids that fall through the wayside and falls through the cracks of corruption, because corruption comes in different ways. Sometimes we hear corruption and we think it's just money. Power. Yeah. And no, it's in a lot of different ways. Kids are very influenced and impressionable and all these things that, you know, we're not always there and we can't always be there. And realistically, like, these are other people's lives that we're not always meant to be in people's mm-hmm. lives like that. Yeah. So eventually there are other factors that, you know, play into like these roles that, you know, there has been like some heartbreaks and some moments where we've seen some kids that lose their way, yeah. You know, to put it simply. You know, I think it's things like that where it's like a lot of like personal things that always doesn't work out that makes this very challenging, very hard. Yeah. Because it's not like, oh, we just do the work and then that's it.
And you forget about it. This is stuff you take home with you.
Yeah, there's a lot of like regulars that come in there that, you know, that they don't just come to grab things. A lot of times it'll be a conversation. It'll be a conversation we're having and all these and mm-hmm. that. And, you know, a lot of people expressing a lot of gratitudes and appreciation for this still being here. And there's a lot of regulars, I hear that all the time, every time you hear it, and I'm like, thanks, you know? But, you know, I also don't want to push people away saying like, oh, you don't have to tell me this every time. You know, you got to leave people open to what's in their heart and what they have to share. But yeah, I want to say it's that. And I would say to maybe the city, you know, because I feel like the city hasn't been a big fan of the Greenhaven, where if it were up to them, I'm sure they would prefer to build something else that's not a community garden or something like that.
Have they given you pushback?
Not necessarily. I want to say in the beginning there has been a lot of pushback that that David has dealt with interacting with a lot of different people and a lot of things he's heard in terms of like, you know, these plans that were
gentrification
So from there too, I think there has been a lot of lack of support from the city to actually like reach out and be like, hey, like,
well, you know what they say, location, location, location. Yeah. Let's go back to this. Yeah. We're dead smack in the middle of prime time, as they say, Miami, right? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that corner. Mm. What are the changes that you guys have seen within the years that you guys have been there, bringing it to something positive?
Yeah.
Well, starting off, there has been a lot of changes. Even initially, where the garden was, it was a big kind of like built. It was an apartment building. A lot of like bad stuff was happening there.
Yeah, it was called The Hole. It was also known as the Rainbow Complex.
The Rainbow Complex, yeah. And it was a lot of, it's been compared to, you know, for all my movie buffs, it's been compared to New Jack City. Cool. So if anybody knows about that movie, that's very telling in itself. So for them to have, you know, bulldozed that apartment building and done away with it, you know, amidst the rubble, here come, you know, various groups of people to come, you know, build something to give back to the community. So it was from a negative to a positive almost instantly with the garden. But we do face a lot of challenges on the outside. So since we've been there, we've seen a lot of buildings get demolished and high rises, you know, being replaced with those buildings that were there before. And with that comes a lot of gentrification. It comes with a lot of people coming from outside paying these prices that the locals were never really able to afford. They were kind of getting by barely with the prices that were already there. So then now in come these super expensive apartment buildings, pushing people further and further away from their homes. And Overtown has really endured a lot of changes because of that, you know. So it's just a matter of holding space and kind of like holding the line as far as like being together with the locals. Like, we're here for you guys, you know. You're not alone. This is a support system for you guys as well. You know, anytime you see those doors open, you're more than welcome to come. We express that with everybody that passes by. you know, so they know they're not alone. And then if they're in a moment of struggling or facing some sort of food insecurity, not only do we have what we have ready to harvest, but we also have the food pantry, which we encourage all of our volunteers and people passing by to replenish, you know, if they can, with canned goods, you know, non-perishable items. So we've definitely seen a lot of changes, you know.
Yeah, there has been a lot of commentary too from people that used to live in those buildings mm-hmm. in the past as well. Like, you know, unfortunately, this person that used to live there, they were houseless at the time when they came, but they expressed gratitude for the space and what it is, because during the time when those buildings were there, he expressed that he lost a friend that was killed on the stair steps of those buildings. And for him, it was a thing where it's like, you know, like, yeah, you know, that sucked and that was unfortunate, but I like what you guys are doing now. This feels like it's healing him, mm-hmm. you know, who was killed here. Like, he feels like now his spirit can rest because the land itself, it's no longer what it once was, as in that it's being used for this darkness. You know, it's being used for good now, that there's a lot of, like, goodness that's coming out of it. And there's been a lot of people that have came from those times that see what it is now, and they all appreciate it. I think the only ones that don't fully understand are the kids, some other kids that knew about that space, and they're like, oh, why is there a garden here, why isn't there another building? And then you have to explain to them, like, the purpose on why we're here, and if this wasn't here, then X, Y, and Z wouldn't happen, type of thing. So,
and you think about it, the New Jack City reference, man, that building was all banged up.
Right.
It was the biggest dope hole in New York in the movie. So just to think that we had that here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it caused, it must have been a cancer in the community. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely not doing any type of good.
At all.
It was a hub for any type of underworld activity you could possibly think of, you know, from what we have been told from the locals that were from that time and are still around now.
See, it's such good news to hear that you have such a positive effect on the community after it's gone through so much turmoil due to that building being there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I'm sure that you've seen it with other buildings. Are you guys the only organization that's trying to make these kinds of moves in that part of the city?
No, not at all. There's a bunch in Overtown right now. The main ones that comes to mind is two that works with the youth, which is the Overtown Youth Center. Mm-hmm. There's Touching Miami with Love. Mm-hmm. There's the Overtown Optimist Club. There's just so many orgs. And recently, too, Dunn's Garden has popped up. I think it's been about a year now.
There was a Garden of Truth.
I believe originally it was Teach the Truth Garden.
Teach the Truth Garden.
And you know, they're doing their thing.
Shout
out
to them as well. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different orgs that don't always get that spotlight and that shine as far as who's in the forefront to represent Overtown and being of resources and helping people out. And fortunately, Overtown's in a good place where there are these people. There's the Lotus House. They recently created, I believe it's called, like, the Children's Village, which is a brand new building.
Just opened.
I don't even think it's a month old. And so, yeah, so new things continue to pop up like that where, you know, you hear about these things. Like, I want to say on our Thanksgiving drive, there was like maybe about three or four other drives that were happening either simultaneously or happening later in that day that, you know, it brings a lot of relief where it's like, okay, well, you know, we're not the only people that, you know, the community is depending on. There's a lot more resources that are popping up too.
And that's a beautiful thing. That's actually, every organization inspires each other.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I want to touch base on that, and I don't know if you guys want to touch base on this subject. We may have to edit this out or not. But it's a real conversation about a lot of feedback that we sometimes get being involved in these places. Mm. Somebody who's not from Overtown, because you guys are not from Overtown, what connects you to that community specifically? What made you want to get involved? And why is it okay for people who are not from a specific community to lend a helping hand?
Nice.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I think, you know, for everyone, the influence is different. I think for me, you know, it was something that, you know, I wanted to put like my time and energy into, not just for the opportunity of being in the space, but just understanding what little I knew at the time about the history of Overtown and the struggle that it continues to go through. For me, I didn't completely feel different or alienated going in there, which, mind you, like, communities based on race and different colors and things like that are always going to respond to people differently. But for me, it wasn't abnormal because I grew up in Carroll City. So I was already like in a Black community. And so like going into Overtown and seeing, you know, the different challenges and, you know, the different people that are involved in there, it's part of what influenced me. But then over time, it's just the connections and the relationships you make from people being there that, you know, I always wasn't treated like, oh, this is just some random Hispanic, non-Black person, however you want to define me, that's coming into this space and that's just here. You know, there's a lot more deeper things that came out of it. And then from there, like, you just keep feeling over time as you make more and more connections that, you know, that you start to feel like, okay, this is where I'm supposed to help. And I say help very lightly because you're never going to have the solutions and the answers for everyone's problems, but you can do what you can to assist in the best way possible. And yeah, I don't know. It's, you know, there's so many parts of Miami that are struggling and that needs help and assistance. But for me, it just felt like it was just something that aligned for me personally.
Okay.
Right. I agree. I second that. And as a person that, you know, I consider myself an activist, you know, on the forefront of social change, I like to go where the work is needed, you know, whether that be in Overtown, whether that be...
Well, you travel all over
the country doing stuff
like this.
I'm always, you know, trying to... you know, promote my support for these very important causes, you know, wherever it may be, you know, so
that's why I wanted to bring it up.
Yeah, I think it's important to have good representation from people that are from Overtown. So shout outs to Louis, you know, from Overtown here.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you know, so it's good to have people that understand, you know, the history behind things and they represent it. They've grown up there. Shout outs to Deslock Piccolo. You know, that's the homie.
You know?
Yeah. Y'all know. You know. So yeah, you know, so these are people that are definitely you know, in touch with us and, you know, connected with us. And, you know, it's important. It really is important. But at the same time, you know, you don't have to be from a certain place to go out and, you know, show support and be a support system for people that need it the most. You know, I'm Cuban from my pop side, I'm Peruvian from my mom's side. And, you know, when things break out, it doesn't matter what my nationality is, what I consider myself there, I'm fighting with you, alongside you, because, you know, no one can be free unless we're all free. That's a very famous quote, you know, and it's true. It rings true, especially during these times with segregation and divisiveness. I feel like we're going through a whole nother age of that right now, where certain people think that they're not really being a victim, or they're not in the spotlight to be like targeted a certain way, while we have our Mexican brothers, while we have our, you know, South American families and all these, you know, so-called immigrants facing, you know, backlash from ICE and getting put in detention centers and all these things. Like, yeah, I'm not Mexican, but that affects me because, you know, my mother and my father came here as immigrants. You know, I don't have to be Mexican to understand their pain. I don't have to be Black to understand, you know, their pain and poverty. But all I have to do is be human to be like, all right, I see you and I understand your pain and I want to help in any way that I can, you know. So I feel like that's basically where I stand in a lot of things. I don't need to be really connected in a sense where it's like I gotta be from a certain spot to, you know, speak out for liberation on these certain areas, you know. But as long as I have a heart and I understand that, you know, we're all in this together, we all breathe the same air, we all bleed the same color, you know, so we need to come together to help each other, you know. and lift each other up as one. You know, the world gets a lot less heavy when we help each other up. So I feel like as a collective, that's what we got to do.
Let's talk about what we're doing. Go ahead if you want
to
add something.
Yeah, the last thing I wanted to say too is that the Overtown that we came into as far as like, you know, playing support roles on is not the Overtown that most people are familiar with. Mm-hmm. You know, like back in the day, especially during segregation era, that was known as quote unquote Color Town. That was mm-hmm. known as the Black center of Miami. But the Overtown that we were you know, stepping into was very mixed already. There's already a lot of changes mm-hmm. that's happened, and there's actually a lot of folks that were from other countries. They might not look like me, but a lot of them didn't speak English too. Mm-hmm. So there's like a lot of those connections as well where, you know, that for me, that's why it's like it wasn't just a flesh thing. There's like things that are deeper there that, mm-hmm. you know, kind of also brought us into those spaces as well that, you know, made us think like, okay, well, the struggle is very complex, you know, mm-hmm. where it's like, sure, there's a majority on a shade, but there's a lot more deeper roots mm-hmm. in terms of like who's struggling here and from just so many different places, from mm-hmm. Honduras to Haiti. It's just so many different places.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And we definitely have more in common than we do different. So we could find more in common than we can our differences. We can relate to a common struggle and work towards a solution that benefits all. So I think it's important to really push unity, especially during these times. Facts. We need to push unity because we're all in the same boat and there's nothing makes us different. We're all in the same boat and we need to uplift each other and work towards a common goal that helps everyone.
What's your favorite part about all of this?
About the whole thing?
The whole Green Haven project. What's been your favorite part of this whole process? Because it sounds like
it's a lot. Journey. It's layered. It's very layered.
Yeah. It's very layered. There's a very huge arc to it. You know, there's like so much details on just the whole journey. But as an individual, and then Legacy, you can also chime in on your answer. I think for me, what makes this all worth it is people's experiences from it. Mm-hmm. And that's just not exclusive to the people we serve, but people that also come to volunteer to mm-hmm. build mm-hmm. with us too. That, you know, for years, some people have considered Green Haven therapy for them.
There you go.
You yep. know, so like to hear that, it's like, for me, you know, going into it, it's like, I thought to myself, it's like, all right, well, you know, I'm in a fortunate place where I can lend myself and I can put myself out there to be of assistance in however that may look. And I didn't necessarily know where that would lead me, but I ultimately didn't visualize the grander picture of everything where like people feel good from the mm-hmm. things you've helped to create.
Don't believe it. Come dig a hole one of these weekends. You know?
And for me, that's very meaningful because it's like my main thing in life is the role that I want to play in anyone's life is just making people feel good, you know? Yeah. And like, for me, that's all I really care about is like, how can I, you know, just bring goodness in your life without like being the source of goodness? Cause I think oftentimes people get lost in like, oh, you're my happiness. You're this and that. It's like, no one should ever be that, but people can always add on to that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's always what I've wanted to do. And so to know that what you're a part of is even beyond that for other people is like very rewarding, you know, like there's this one gentleman, like he's Jamaican, that he comes there very regularly and he's just always just saying goodness like that. It's like, man, people are talking about you. People are talking about you, what you guys do, this and that. Like, you're doing good things, man. You're doing good things. And, you know, it's moments like that that makes it worth it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, despite like all the turmoils and the struggles and all the complications we go through, it's moments like that that makes it worth it because that's what it's supposed to be
for. You're making a difference. Yeah. You really are. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I definitely agree with what Jorge said. You know, very therapeutical, you know, and just to hear how we have affected people's lives in a positive way, that's pretty much all the reward you would need, you know. I feel like in life, a lot of people get caught up in the individualism of life. Like, I gotta do this, and you know, I'm independent and I'm doing this my own and I built this my own, but it's like, it's never really, you're never really by yourself and you always have, you know, help along the way. And to really hear the feedback from these locals and from people that have just experienced the garden, whether it be in short periods of time or throughout the years, you know, just to hear that it affected them in a positive way and they came out, you know, feeling better or maybe with a little bit more insightfulness, you know, and enlightenment. You know, the garden is therapy even for me. I was, you know, I was at a crossroads in my life where if I would have made a left and chose something else, I probably would have still been in jail, you know, and I made a decision at that fork road, you know, either I can go help these like-minded individuals at this garden when it was just rocks and we're breaking through rocks and all types of craziness. There was like nothing green there, but either I can do this or I can do that. And it's like, well, what am I here to do? Am I here to build or am I here to destroy? And if I'm here to build, then I need to be around people that wish to build good things, you know? And just hearing how kids come back and be like, you know, hey, you know, I would have probably not been in this position if not for the garden, you know, or, you know, certain people come and tell us like, hey, you know, like I was really struggling that day and you guys helped me out with some food and it really helped me to get back on my feet. Like, that's just something that you cannot put a price to. It's immeasurable. Like, it's not something that you could, it's even hard to explain because it's, you're giving somebody hope almost, you know? And at the same time, you're healing yourself because we're all going through things in life and we all have our traumas and, you know, our shadows. But, you know, when we come together as a group and we're helping each other and it's just such a positive vibe, people are smiling, you see kids running around, you know, having a good time, you see old folks, you know, they're just hanging out and it's just a tribe mentality. Like, that is therapeutic and healing on such a collective level that, you know, it needs to be addressed as therapy. You know, like, you go to a garden to understand how to plant things. Not only are you connecting with the earth, but you're also connecting to your roots. Like, how did we get here as a species? You know, how did we get here as a species? We needed to understand how to cultivate the land. And these are things that we have been so disconnected from. You ask a child where their food comes from, they're gonna say Publix. Yep. They're gonna say a supermarket, you know? But if you could teach, you know, a child the importance of cultivation and self-sustainability, then it's like that saying goes, you teach a man to fish, you know, he eats for a lifetime, but if you give him a fish, he only eats for a day. It's like, teach somebody how to plant a seed. You could give them a plate of vegetables, they're gonna eat it, but if you teach somebody to plant a seed, that seed can go on for not only them, their children, their family, but generations to come. And it's like, it's such a wholesome spiritual experience that it's, you know, chicken soup for the soul, you know? Yeah. Chicken soup for the soul.
What events do we have coming up? What are you guys currently working on? What can we expect from the Green Haven Project in the near future?
Well, we've gone through a lot of events just recently, but one way we're going to end it off big, which we can also segue you into this, and then from that too, I would also like to ask you that same question, as far as, like, you know, your experience from, you know, you and Louis doing this now for how long has it been? Like 6-7 years with doing it?
Well, we're doing our 9th annual holiday toy drive this year. We've been with The Haven, I want to say, for at least 6 or 7 of those years. Right? and we're really excited because it's just been our home base for a very long time. Sometimes we want to leave into other areas of Miami and in different communities because, like you mentioned earlier, there's a lot of different places here in Miami and all over the country that definitely need help, need support, you know, need to raise awareness on. But it's hard to leave the Overtown area. It's hard to leave the Green Haven Project because we have seen firsthand those positive impacts that we've had. You know, you can't save everybody, but I think that every little drop of water goes a long way, and we've definitely been able to impact and help so many different people on all levels. We've had people go there and, like I said, just sit down
Just hang out.
You know, they don't need to do anything. They just are vibing with us. They're having conversations. And all of a sudden, you'll see them get up. And they'll start asking, hey, is everybody good? Do you need something? Do you want water? I'm going to go get you some. So it's just something that's so natural. And it's so organic. You know, no pun intended. Yeah. but really, it really is something where it's just a place of community. I don't know if Louis, who's here, wants to come and chime in on that because he also has a very big part with the Green Haven Project, mm-hmm. Overtown, for the Back to School Project. That's always a good event that we have only because it's based on education and we do have a few educational activities there that guys also take part on. We also have local artists such as Serum. Shout out to Serum. Who always comes through.
The brainstorm trooper.
Yeah. But for the holiday toy drive, it's very special. We try to just open it up, not just to Christmas or Hanukkah, but all sorts of different cultures, different communities. So it's open for everybody. Whoever's listening to this right now, the Green Haven Project, on Sunday, December 14th from 2 to 6 p.m. We're going to be out there with concessions, bounce house, live DJ. And it's really just a great vibe. It's not necessary to bring anything. Just show up. Like you guys said, you know, that's all we need. A lot of people call us for these causes and ask, what can I do? And it's just show up. When you get there, just volunteer your time. Talk to the youth, you know. Whatever you can do, it goes a long way.
The kids appreciate it, man. For the toy drive, I've been there. Yeah. I've passed by, man. It's such, you see their day.
It's their day.
And that's what it's all about. It's just one day. We're not going to solve, like you said, everybody's problems. And we're definitely not the solution to all of these things going on. But if those kids, even just one of them, can come out, be at the Green Haven, learn something new, make a new bond, you know, find a new friend, just learn something different about the world and know that we're out there for them and they can forget about all those problems that they have maybe at home or around the block for just one day. That for us, I think, is what fulfills us and what propels us to continue moving forward with these initiatives, with these missions, and can't stop, won't stop, right?
Yeah. I mean, I got to commend you guys for putting in so much effort in everything you do with this, because historic Overtown is not a part of the city anyone thinks about. And that's sad to say, because when you do the history, it has so many meat and potato stories where it's famous people from all walks of entertainment would perform in South Beach, and then they perform in Overtown.
Oh yeah, one of the main stories I always hear that always struck me as like, whoa, and it wasn't too long ago either, you know. So it was like Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali went to fight, you know, at South Beach or whatever it was, you know, and then he had to come back to Overtown because he couldn't stay at the beach. He had to stay in Overtown. And these stories are very common with humongous superstars that are idolized and icons that, you know, are celebrated now by our government.
And like you said, it wasn't too long ago. We're still dealing with these issues. So what would you like to leave our audience with on that note?
On that note, as far as the changes?
As far as the positive changes that you guys are making within that community.
No pun intended, but what's the legacy you want to leave behind?
Well, I feel like, I'll touch briefly on it. I feel like in the sense of us being there and doing all that we can to support the locals, I feel like, you know, we kind of get caught up in all this negativity and all this craziness, the chaos, you know, that's going on politically wise, and just everything's like crazy. Don't turn on the news because you're gonna get traumatized. But it's like, you know, we want to help change these narratives and to help change these situations. It's like we may not be able to change the world, you know, but at least we can help shift a change in somebody's world, you know, that may not be really feeling good about, you know, their environment or feeling good about their situation. Like, if we can help lighten the load, you know, I think that goes a very long way. Just lighten the load. You don't got to pick up the entire weight of the world on your shoulders. Just help lighten the load. And I feel like that's the biggest takeaway. Like, you know, if I can help better somebody's situation or just better the overall conditions of a place that I'm at, you know, trying to leave a place better than I found it. Like, I think that's the ultimate takeaway, and that's how I live my life, you know. And I'm thankful to be around such like-minded individuals like you all here today, because I feel like together we're making very positive changes and we're making them in strides, you know. So, you know, shout outs to y'all. I think the main takeaway is, you know, leaving things better than how we found them and trying to do our best to do so.
Yeah, I think that's a good note, you know, to kind of piggyback on. Because for me, you know, when it comes to doing this, like, I don't think about legacies or like, you know, things like that, where it's like, where there's like a spotlight on me and
I'm gonna do this because
or, you know, or like, or like just getting lost in the glory of things, where it's just like, look at me, yeah. You know, because for me, that's irrelevant. You know, I think what's relevant is who's gonna pick up the torch, you know. And from there, I've already seen signs of people that have expressed like, hey, I'm doing this now, this garden project, because of you. Because, you know, because I saw you do it and how you're kind of in it and all this and that.
Instilled that inspiration in somebody.
Yeah, you know, for me, like, instilling inspiration is more important than leaving a legacy behind. Because I feel like instilling an inspiration, it's not self-centered. Mm-hmm. When, you know, when these ideas of, like, you know, like, trying to leave a monument of yourself or something like that, or statues mm-hmm. of you, or, like, you know, being noticed in those ways, it's, I feel like you lose the plot at that point.
Facts, yeah.
Where, like, people, like now it's not, oh, it's not about the project, it's not about who you helped or influenced, it's about you. And for me, you know, I've always tried to make sure that whatever I do, you know, and whatever helping hand that I you know, dip my own fingers into, that I make sure it's never about me. It should never be about me. It should never be about, you know, the faces and, like I mentioned before, like the people who you know, start these things. It should be about, you know, who feels something.
No, today,
you know,
it's all about you guys.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's all about you.
Today, it's all about
it's
you.
It's not about the feel or nothing, you guys. Because you think about it, like, you don't really hear about the Green Haven Project outside of certain circles.
Right.
But when you do, you're just this. It's the same reaction all the time. What?
Mm-hmm. Don't hear about it. Be about it. Yeah. So meet us at the Green Haven Project. Please let everybody know where they can find you, the address, all that.
Yeah. So our main headquarters is in Overtown. Address is 1160 Northwest 2nd Avenue. Best place to keep up with us to see when we're open, when we got events going on, is on Instagram at green.haven.project.
That's right.
Green.haven.project.
Yes, because Green Haven Project was already taken. So, so we had to do green.haven.project.
We also have a website that is currently being under construction right now. Okay. But you could go and see kind of like the bare skeleton of it and get some insight on that as well. But that website is currently being updated, and
yeah, it's gonna look a lot different.
Yeah,
so I really don't know, like,
what's gonna be the end result.
Yeah, because there's like a whole different team that's working on it, and
yeah,
I don't think I've given like any input as far as like how it's being designed.
Me either.
Gonna
be surprised.
It's under construction.
And then we're usually like more focused on like field things and stuff like that. So yeah, there's a lot of changes and upgrades and things like that are coming into next year. But then, yes, last things we're ending with is the toy drive, which will be our last big event of the year.
Nice.
Our last big collaborative event. And then also that same day, too, I forgot to mention, which will also be our last smile day of the year with the Smile Trust. They're doing their last feedings.
That same day.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And yeah. I don't know if they're preparing to work the hours within when we're there doing the toy drive.
I would love to have everybody there.
Yes, but I'm Unique, which is one of the board members. She did say they are going to work on bringing toys that day.
Beautiful.
Amazing.
Shout out to the Freedom Lab, Smile Trust.
So it is a free event. Just bring a toy if you can, some sort of donation. We are going to have to bring you guys back at some point and do like individual interviews. Let everybody know, if you'd like, where they can find you on an individual basis with all of your different projects as well.
Well,
I think for now people got enough opportunities with Green Haven. So come shout out us at Green Haven. Come check us out at Green Haven. Yeah. You know, if you want to learn more about us, come to Green Haven. You know, volunteer. If you don't have donations come in a variety of forms, so you could come bring some canned goods, you know, volunteer your time. If you know somebody that's willing to donate
spread the word
monetarily, they can do that as well. But also, yeah, spread the word, and you know, just come out. You know, if you want to know more about us and our and our cause and the multitude of people that are involved with this, then just come out and be a part of it, you know. So we always need the helping hands, and we're always welcome to you know, having new people there and just helping along with the cause. Anytime you see those doors open, we tell the locals all the time, anytime you see those doors open, you're more than welcome to come and get food and, you know, hydrate yourself or whatever. Just hang out in the shade, you know, connect to nature, whatever it is. Whenever those doors are open, this is very much y'all garden as well as it is, you know, any of us on the board members or whatever. Like, it's everybody's garden. So just come on out if you want to learn more about us. <All right.
laughs> Yeah, same way. I don't have like any personal socials or anything like that. Okay. If I wasn't helping to manage the Green Haven IG, I wouldn't have IG at all.
Oh, wow. So we're getting a Legacy Mixtape 2026 for Green Haven?
I've kind of taken the music is taking a back seat right now, but...
Well, you got a lot going on.
Right, yeah. I got a lot going on. Yeah, we got a lot going on. So it's coming, though. It's coming. Things are aligning in
But never very, say never.
Right. Things are aligning in a very unique way and a very creative way, and I feel like, you know, very soon we should be hearing more of my music side.
Dope. So, Trey, you got this toy drive coming up.
That's right.
That's what's up.
We definitely want to stress that. We just want to remind everybody one more time. December 14th, 2 to 6 p.m. at the Green Haven Project. We will see you guys there, donation or not.
1160 Northwest 2nd Ave.
December 14th, Sunday.
Sunday.
Be there or be square.
Guys, it's been such a pleasure to work with you guys throughout the years. We're all very excited and in your corner, looking ahead to such a bright future for the Green Haven Project and yourselves as individuals. So thank you so much for joining us at 305 Radio, a Miami podcast.
Man, it's been fun. It's been educational.
Education.
I give you guys my props for everything. And if whoever's listening to this podcast after December 2025, keep in mind, this is a forever thing
here. Right.
So
all year, every year.
Every year, you're gonna hear Dre's 25th annual toy drive.
That's right.
And it's still,
as long as God permits, all glory to God, not all us, glory you to know?
God. Right. Yeah, God willing.
Shout outs to Dre, very inspirational with all that she does, you know, very multifaceted as well.
Big
and
time.
We salute you for bringing
a lot
this
of gratitude.
Shout outs to Docs.
How about you?
Shout out Docs, Good Tone Studios.
That's right. God bless y'all.
Hey, when you're dealing with us, you're going to get praises and love too.
So,
a lot of love in the room.
Whether you like it or not.
Let me love you.
You give love, you get love back. So
yeah, man. So this has definitely been a great episode. I thank you guys for coming out and actually educating us on what the Green Haven Project does, what it does to bring together the community in so many ways. And I love that Dre's involved. And looking forward to everything you guys do, man. So thanks a lot for coming through. It's a wrap then, right?
It's a wrap.
All right, guys. Peace out.
Much love.
Peace
and blessings,
everybody.
Peace, love, and
blessings,
yes.
All right.